Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians. I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection, becoming like him in his death, so that somehow I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already obtained this or I've already been made perfect, but I press on. This one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I press on towards the goal of the upward call in Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I wanted to tell you this story about this horse track. And this man came to bet some money, and he had his money with him, and he was looking down, and he could hardly believe his eyes. Down below there was a priest dressed in a white collar, and he was praying over horse number two. And so he just wanted to see what was going to happen. And sure enough, all the horses lined up and they all took off and they went running around the track. And horse number two won the race. So the man thought to himself, well, wait a minute, on the second race, I'm just going to wait to see what this priest does. And sure enough, the priest was down there in the second race and he went over to horse number four and prayed over horse number four. And the man thought, you know, I'm just going to wait a little bit and see what happens here. And sure enough, all the horses went in the gate, and the gates went up, and all the horses took off, and horse number four ran really fast and won the race. So now the man's getting a clue here, and he wires his bank, and he has $50,000 sent to him. And then he watches the priest, and the priest went over before the race. He went over to horse number six and prayed over the horse, and so the man took all of his money that he got wired to him, $50,000, and he put it down on horse number six. And the teller said, well, you know, horse number six is a long shot. And he said, that's okay. He said to himself, you know, with all those odds, I'm going to be a multimillionaire. So all the horses got in the gates, and the gates went up, and off they went, you know, and the horses took off. Horse number six was in the backstretch winning. The guy's jumping up and down thinking, I'm going to be a multimillionaire. This is awesome. And all of a sudden, he could hardly believe his eyes. As he looked in the backstretch, horse number six started foaming at the mouth, and it started going into convulsions, and it fell over and died, and all the other horses ran by, and he lost the race, and he lost the money. And I mean, for a minute, he was in disbelief. And then he went ballistic, and he saw Father. He goes, Father, he said, I saw you pray over all those other horses and they won, and I saw you pray over horse number six and he lost, and I lost $50,000 on that race. What happened? He says, what in the world went on there? And the priest said, my son, may I ask you a question? He says, sure, anything. He says, you're not by any chance Catholic, are you? He says, no, why? He says, because if you were Catholic, you'd know the difference between a blessing and the last rites. And the reason why I tell you the story is I hope that my preaching won't kill you. Actually, I think it's going to bring you life. And I wanted to talk with you about this beautiful verses of Paul to the Philippians. And he said, this one thing I do, please get this one thing I do, I forget what lies behind. Let's talk about that for a minute. And then he said, I press on towards the goal in Christ Jesus. And the reason why I talked to you about the horses, and I told you that horse joke, is because if you've ever been to a track and you've seen the horses run, it's an interesting thing. They all have these little things on their eyes, and they're called blinders. And the reason why a horse will run with blinders is so that they won't look back, and they won't get distracted or look to the sides. Because if you get distracted and you look to the sides, or if you turn around and look back, you can't run the race. Not and win. No, you can run and you can get going, but you'll never win. I remember when I was in Little League Baseball, you know, we used to run and steal bases. I'd be on first base, and the coach always told me, Cedric, when you go to steal second base, never ever look back at the catcher, because if you do, it's going to slow you down. So I'd take off, and I'd look right toward the goal. I'd look right toward second base, and that made me faster. And so it's the same way in life. When you start looking to the sides, or if you start looking back, you're not going to win. You're not going to be able to run the race. And we all have a history. We all have a past. In fact, when you think about it, our bodies are designed with this parable in mind of not looking back. For example, if I were to take my hand, and if you do this at home, and you put it behind your head and do this, you can't see your hand. Why is that? Because you have eyes not in the back of your head, but in the front of your head, not in the side of your head either. Because God designed us to be forward-looking. God designed us to look straight ahead, not to be looking backwards. And it's the same in life. We need to be forward-looking people, not looking back all the time. Because what can happen is, if you look back, it can mire you in the past. You know, the mistakes that you've made, the sins that you've had, the tragedies that you've gone through, the hurts that you've borne. And what it can do is it can hurt you, and it can get you stuck, and it can anchor you in the past. Jesus taught about this when he taught about parables. For example, he said, anybody who has their hand to the plow, this comes from the Gospel of Luke, anybody that has their hand to the plow and looks back isn't fit for the kingdom of God. And then Jesus told a parable, three words actually. He taught a sermon. And this also is in the Gospel of Luke. And it was Luke 17. Remember Lot's wife. Well, there's a sermon for you. Remember Lot's wife. Remember what happened to Lot's wife? Sodom and Gomorrah was about to be destroyed. The angel told Lot and his wife, you know, take off, run, flee the city, and don't look back. And remember what happened? Lot's wife looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt, because I like to say that people that keep looking back aren't worth a salt. So don't look back. Keep pressing on. This one thing I do, Paul the Apostle said, I press on. I forget what lies behind, and I go forward. Now, we have to remember, when Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians, he was in jail. That's what scholars tell us. He was either in Ephesus or Rome, in jail. And when you're in jail, you know, you have a lot of time to think, especially the jails that they used to put them in. They didn't have TVs like Martha Stewart had, or, you know, jails weren't a piece of cake. You had time to think. You were by yourself. It was a sewer hole. And Paul could have been thinking, oh, gee, I'm in jail. Here I am, a missionary. I've done all this work for God, and obviously, God is punishing me because I killed Stephen. I persecuted Christians. Even all the good works that I've done, God's forgotten all that, and he's punishing me. You know, that's what you could have been thinking. That's what a lot of people think about their life. Well, like Paul, it's easy to get stuck in the past and say, oh, I have that deep, dark sin from the past, or oh, I made that mistake, or I didn't live my dream, and now nothing's ever going to happen to me. Well, what I'd like to say is this. Don't dwell in the past. You learn from the past, you live in the present, and you look to the future. Again, you learn from the past, you live in the present, and you look to the future. But don't dwell in the past. For example, some of you maybe have gone through a divorce where you can move forward. Or some of you have children that have left the faith and you raised them and they didn't turn out the way that you wanted them to. Well, keep pressing on. Or maybe you've committed some deep, dark sin. You can be forgiven. Jesus will be your Savior. Move on. Or perhaps you're grieving a relationship that didn't turn out right, or maybe you're struggling with something from the past that's different. Move forward. Don't stay stuck in the past. You know, as a Catholic priest, I meet many people, and people are in one of three places. Either they are stuck in the past. For example, many people come to me and talk about their prayer life. Father, I'm stuck. You know, nothing seems to be happening. I go to Mass and I'm just going through the motions and nothing, I don't feel anything. And they feel stuck. And then other people are actually going backwards. That's the second place that people can be in. And they say things like, Father, I got tempted and got captured by an addiction and now I'm stuck. And I'm not only stuck, I'm going backwards. I'm not even going forwards. And it could be doubts, it could be anger, it could be impatience, it could be an addiction. And they feel like they're not growing and they're going backwards. And then the third place, of course, where people are is they're moving and they're growing and they're progressing and they're changing and they're going forward and they're becoming holy. So there's one of three places you can be in, or maybe a little bit of all of them. You can feel stuck, you can be going backwards, or you can be going forward. So my heart's desire as a Catholic priest is to help you to move and to grow and to go and to progress and to change and to mature. And that's part of living with passion, that you're not stuck, you're certainly not going backwards, but that you're going forwards. And may I ask you not to stay stuck, to realize that God has the power to get you going, and to quit looking back. Learn from the past, but don't stay stuck in it. We've all had a history. And let me tell you, the reason why I had these verses read from Paul's letter to the Philippians, again, it's chapter 3, is because I had this read 25 years ago when I was professed as a Passionist. There were 8 of us at the time. And all 8 of us had a history. We all had a past that we weren't proud of. Just when you live life, we all have that. Read some of my books, you'll find out some of the things that I've done. Well, anyway, we had this read at our profession, this one thing that I do, we forget what lies behind, we press on toward the goal, because all of us wanted a new beginning. And it was wonderful. It was a full church, and we wore our habits, we received this beautiful sign that we wear, the Passion of Jesus Christ, written in 3 different languages, Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. And it was a new beginning for us. We're going to press on. And that's exactly what I want for you. I pray that as you watch this program, you will sense that God is moving you into a new beginning. So the first part of what I was talking about is this one thing that I do, Paul said, I forget what lies behind. And there's many reasons why we should remember, but God is telling us, learn from the past, but forget it. Don't stay mired back there. I think about so many things in my life that I could stay mired in, my past sins, my past failures. You know, when I started preaching, I didn't tell stories. I was so serious. I was so nervous. I had panic attacks. I lost my spit, all these different things. I would never, ever be on TV if I kept remembering my past. But God kept telling me, Cedric, you know, you got to start somewhere. Everybody makes mistakes. Move on. Keep going. Don't be afraid. I am with you. And he's saying the same thing to you today. So this one thing that I do, I forget what lies behind. I learn from what lies behind, but I forget what lies behind. And I press on toward the good things, toward the goal. So let's talk about this whole concept of pressing. This is a word in the scripture. If you remember, people, when Jesus was walking, people pressed around him. It has the notion of exertion or force or energy. People pressed around Jesus. We press buttons. We're familiar with that. We press the keys on a keyboard. We're familiar with that. We press flesh when we shake hands. We press, it's called a bench press with weights. And we even call the media the press. For example, the paparazzi. You ever see them when they would try to get a story? For example, when Tiger Woods, you know, fell and got in that accident and everything. They had helicopters over his property. They had people climbing the fence. They were relentless in pressing because they wanted to get the story. In the same way, you know, that's why we call them the press, because they meet the press, for example, this show on TV. We call them the press because they exert force and energy and work to try to get the story. In the same way, if you want to be a person of passion, and as you know, the whole title of this program is called Live with Passion, you've got to be a person who presses. Things don't just fall on you. Things don't just happen. Opportunities just don't come, although they may come, but when they do, you've got to press. You've got to enter the open door. Jesus said, strive to enter the narrow gate. For he said, many will try and not be able to, because he said the way is easy and wide to perdition, but the way to life is straight and narrow, and few there are who enter it. So in other words, you've got to be a person of discipline and diligence, determination. You have to be indefatigable. That means tireless. You have to be relentless in your spiritual life, in many different areas. Your spiritual life, in your family, in your character, in your dreams, in every area of your life. That's what I'm talking about. You must press. Let's look at a couple examples. Pressing on is very scriptural. Paul the Apostle, for example, was a man who pressed. He didn't give up. He continued to preach. For example, one time he was actually stoned. He was preaching the gospel in a town called Lystra, and they stoned him. No, he wasn't in a church when he was preaching. He was just outside preaching the gospel, trying to get people to come to Jesus. They stoned him. Well, if it were you or me, you know, you probably would have given up. Well, he didn't give up. He got up. You know, it was like this resurrection. And then he went to the next town and he preached. Imagine that. And then look at Jesus. Jesus was rejected at Nazareth. Next day you find him in Capernaum preaching. That's something called resilience. And if you've ever made the Stations of the Cross or prayed the Stations of the Cross, you see Jesus, he falls under the weight of the cross. Then he gets up. And then he falls again. And he gets up. And then he falls again. And he gets up. You see, life is a series of falls and mistakes and tragedies, and brokenness. But God is looking for people who will get up and be resilient. See, that's what living with passion is all about. It's not that, don't think that if you're a disciple or a person of passion that hard things aren't going to come your way. They will come your way. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. But he said, cheer up, I have overcome the world. I love that. See, there's a strength, this indomitable spirit that's put within you. And you have that. If you're a disciple of Jesus, you have that. You come to Jesus and he anoints you with the power and the strength to live your life well. We all have adversity. We all have challenges. We all have struggles and trials. That's why they offer these, if you've ever seen Hilton hotels, they offer these bounce back weekends. You know, you go away and you get away from your problems for a little bit. Go into a hotel room, hit the hot tub, work out a little bit, gain new perspective, you bounce back. That's called resilience. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. That's what pressing on is. You bounce back when you're raising the kids and they drive you crazy. You bounce back when you struggle with your relationships. You bounce back when your prayer life doesn't seem to be working. You bounce back when your dreams seem to be broken. Like I said, you know, there's no way I would be on TV if every negative thing that happened to me when I was striving to get on TV, you know, I had walls and different things coming against me. But you know what? God put this in me. He put this dream in me. And so I kept bouncing back and having resilience and pressing on and going forward and forgetting what lies behind. And you can do it too. I want to tell you a little bit about the founder of our community, St. Paul of the Cross. Don't confuse him with St. John of the Cross, two different saints. St. Paul of the Cross lived in the 1700s in Italy, and he had this great vision and dream. His name was Paul Daniel. He had this great vision and dream about founding a community dedicated to the poor, and he wanted to call his community the Poor of Jesus. So, clothed in this black sackcloth, he had a vision from the Virgin Mary. He went to the Vatican doorstep, knocked on the door, and he said, I want to see the Pope. The guards looked at him, and they laughed at him. They thought he was a hobo. They thought he was a derelict, and they threw him out in the street, and they said, don't you ever come back here. Well, what would you do if you were rejected by the church you love? You know, this is coming up in me right now. Perhaps you've been rejected by the church that you love. You've been abused by a priest. You've been rejected or hurt in ministry. You're a woman and you want to minister and you feel like the church has shut you out. Well, what I want to say is bounce back. Be resilient. Don't give up. God will use you. Be humble. And that's exactly what Paul did. He went into a chapel. If you've ever been to Rome, there's four major basilicas in Rome. And he went into a chapel there in the Basilica of St. Mary Major. And in the side chapel, he prayed. See, instead of despair, he turned to prayer. And that's an often place where you can find the ability to bounce back. And he prayed, and he noticed that there was a crucifix there in the chapel. And he prayed before the crucifix, before the cross. And as he prayed before the cross, we have this beautiful cross here in this chapel. And I want to focus on that just for a second. As he prayed before the cross, he noticed the suffering of Jesus. He noticed the betrayal of Jesus. And he meditated how Jesus had been rejected. And so he came to understand that, you know what, after all, God was definitely calling him to found a community, but he changed the name from the poor of Jesus to the passion of Jesus, to the sufferings of Jesus. He wanted a community that would proclaim God's love for all in the passion. And so what he did is he founded a community called the Passionists. So he went back to the Vatican about a month or two later. An amazing, you know, just to have the guts to go back to the place where he was rejected. That's so hard. Went back to the Vatican. This time, miraculously, they let him in. He was wearing the same thing. They let him in. He had an audience with the Pope. He put before the Pope his idea to found a community dedicated to the passion of Jesus. You know what? The Pope not only liked this idea, he approved the rule of St. Paul of the Cross, and he even said this. He said, this community should have been the first community founded in the whole church. So the Passionists were approved in the 1700s. We now have been in the church for some 250 years. We're in 56 countries. We have retreat centers here in the United States. We're filming this from our chapel here in Houston, where we have a beautiful retreat center. We have retreat centers in Detroit, Sacramento, Los Angeles, New York, Florida, all up and down the East Coast. Missionaries like myself go out and preach the gospel everywhere through TV, through writing, preaching, chaplains, prison chaplains. We're all over the world. See, it was an inspired vision. And what would have happened if Paul had given up? But he didn't give up. He got up. He was resilient. He bounced back. He pressed on. And you can do the same thing too, because the same spirit that was in Paul the Apostle is in you. The same spirit that kept Jesus moving forward is in you. The same spirit that motivated St. Paul of the Cross is in you. It's that indomitable, relentless, indefatigable Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit. This one thing that I do, I forget what lies behind, and I press on toward the goal. So I want you pressing on. Scripture is telling us, and Jesus shows us, and the saints demonstrate to us that what we must do is press. And we have to be unwavering and unyielding and unbending and determined and consistent. This is the way to live your life. This is what it means to be a disciple. You can't be wishy-washy and mamsy-pamsy. And in all the areas of your life, your family, your prayer life, your dreams, your goals, your character, you have to press on. And if you don't, you're just going to be stuck. And I want you to be a person that lives with passion. No matter how old you are or how young you are, be a person that goes forward. It's really important. And then Paul the Apostle said, now this is the third part of my sermon here. Paul the Apostle said, this one thing I do, I forget what lies behind, and I press on. And then he said, get this, towards the goal. Now he didn't say to the goal, he said towards the goal. Now to me, there's a great distinction there. He was talking about the notion of the journey, of process, of progression, of movement, of heading in the direction of. That's exactly what discipleship is. I'm writing a whole new book on that. Right now, the title of it is The Sacred Walk. I haven't written it yet. I'm in the process of writing it. And I want to talk about the sacred walk. In other words, discipleship as a journey, as movement, as going forward, as progression, as maturation. See, it's not all about, a lot of people think about that word perfection, for example, that Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And they think that discipleship is you reach perfection and then it's over. Well, wait a minute, hold it. None of us can ever reach perfection. We're all on the way. We never arrive. That's exactly what Paul said in this reading. He said, not that I've gotten there, but I press on. And you have to understand what the word perfection in the Greek is. It's teleos. You know, we get the word telescope from that. So perfection is something that we look toward, that we strive toward, that we go toward, like a telescope. We look at it from afar and we head toward it. That's what discipleship is. So don't get discouraged if you're not perfect. A lot of people are perfectionistic. I'm not letting you off the hook and saying that you can do anything. But perfectionism can be a deadly disease because you never get there. You're always under guilt and condemnation. But rather, this is what God told me years ago. He said, Cedric, because I was beating myself up because I wasn't perfect. He said, Cedric, I'm not so much interested in your perfection. I'm interested in your progression.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.